Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show. I'm delighted to have with me today the wonderful and glorious Amanda Watts. Hello to you.
Hello, how are you?
We're superb today and great to have you on the show, Amanda. We've known each other a while now. For the benefit of people listening that may not know you, and I can't believe there are not many, tell us a bit about your background and your expertise.
26 years loving marketing. I left school, wanted to do something in marketing, couldn't find anything to start with, ended up working in a bank. 6 months later, left. Can you imagine me working in a bank being totally quiet?
No.
Really worked very well at all. And then got myself a job as a marketing assistant. I've never done anything other than work in marketing. But it's only been in the past 2.5 years, I would say, that I've worked with accounting firms.
So in your view, Amanda, what do you think makes the good accounting firms great?
Good accounting firms great is all about relationships. So I say that you put relationships before absolutely everything. So the accountancy firm partners and their staff that focus on giving that value add and helping and keeping in touch with their clients, that's what makes an accounting firm great.
But that seems so obvious. Why don't they do it?
Well, typical accountants have been told that they are a certain breed that can't talk to people and have to be shy and have no personality of building relationships. Mm. So if you tell someone something enough, they start to believe it. Yeah. So for only a couple of years, we've been saying build relationships. For 40 years, we've been saying, oh, the reason you're an accountant is because you don't like talking to people.
Yeah.
So we've just got to change mindset. It's just mindset. That's why they don't do it.
How coachable and teachable do you feel accountants are as a species?
It depends on the coach. Anyone can reprogram their mindset if they do the right things in the right order. Up until the age of 7, we are taught to act in a certain way, and we stay very young and we stay very humble. And by the time we're 7, everything that we've been told, we believe by our parents, by our teachers, by our peers, everyone around us. So the way they behave is anywhere from the age of 7 up to where they are now, it's been ingrained in them. So you have to just reprogram their mind. And that can be through bashing them over the head with a club and just hoping that they will blim and do it. Or alternatively, you sit down and you talk to them and you say, this is just mindset, let's work on your mindset, which is a lot of what we do in the program.
Yeah. So when you say the program, what kind of a problem might an accountant have for them to say, wow, let's get Amanda Watts in here right now?
Okay, so those who want to work on relationships, those who want to build better relationships with their clients and who want to have new relationships with new clients, they're going to give them advice. So we hear trusted advisor. That's a word we hear a lot of. Challenge every accountant that tells me they don't like that word and say, well, what would you rather I called you? And they were like, well, I don't know. So I'm going to use that word. They all want to be trusted advisors. My ideal client is someone that has huge value to give, is sitting on a mountain of value. They don't know that they've got it, but are very aware that they need to uncover it. So they come to me to help them uncover it. And then we package that up and then we take it to market and they can then attract those advisory clients. Some of my clients charge 30 grand a year for their advice. Others see an advisory client as someone they charge £3,000 or £6,000 a year.
Yeah. So in the Amanda Watts Dictionary of Life and Business, what does marketing mean?
Actually, marketing means marketing and sales nowadays because they're combined. And I see it as attracting your ideal client, connecting with your ideal client through visuals, audio and conversations, and then converting these people in a very elegant way where your ideal client actually asks to work with you rather than you have to sell. So marketing eliminates that horrible snake oil that so many people think that they have to do and sell when they're trying to get people to buy from them.
Yeah. What kind of state do you think the accounting profession is in right now?
State is a horrible word, Rob. I'm going to have to pull you up on that. There is no state in the accounting profession. There is only opportunity. So okay. I'm very excited about the profession, as I explained why I work with accountants. I think that there is a huge mindset shift that many of the traditional firms need to have, but it is only mindset. Other than that, the world is full of opportunity and the profession is ripe for them to grow and give and get.
And accountants are in a great position, aren't they, as trusted advisors, to make the biggest impact on businesses.
Yeah. So if you've ever heard me give a talk, one of my favorite sentences is, you don't need a business coach, you need an accountant. I'm not a fan of business coaches, being one myself and you being one, I'm really sorry. The reason why is because to advise a business, you need to understand the numbers. And if you don't understand the numbers, how can you give advice on how that business should grow? And the only people who know the numbers are the accountants. So they're in a brilliant position to change the world.
What do you think are some of the biggest challenges that accounting firms face at the moment?
One, overwhelmed with tech.
Yeah.
And two, not being able to get the staff so that they can then leverage their time so that they can offer advisory or get staff that are good enough to help them and support them to offer advisory.
How can they get over the tech overwhelm? Any tips?
Yes, be really selective. So I'm a big fan of focus. What you need to do is you need to understand your ideal client. You need to only work with your ideal client. You get to know their problems, and then you get to know the tech that that ideal client needs. So when you're given the opportunity, do I use Xero? Do I use Free Agent? Do I use QuickBooks? That problem doesn't arise if you know who your ideal client is and know which one of those best suits your ideal client.
So how would an accountant even start thinking about an ideal client?
Three things. They need to really, really like them. So your ideal client is someone you really like that you would have round to your house for a barbecue. Then you need to be able to help them. So you need to be talented enough to help them overcome whatever problems they've got, and they've got to be able to pay you. So whilst working with, I would say, plumbers, let's go with plumbers that run their own business, that don't have a team, that earn maybe 40 grand a year. They might be really nice people. You might be able to help them, but they cannot afford to pay you for advisory because they don't earn enough money.
Right.
So choose an ideal client that can afford to pay you. When you have a mixture of you love them, they can afford to pay you well, and you are really talented and can help them, that's your sweet spot, and that should be the niche. I talk about niching your marketing, not your practice. So when you go out to get those clients, it's just a campaign you run and you just put out the feelers and get to know if you like these people. You don't put all of your eggs in one basket in one go.
So you're a believer in niches?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But only for marketing. You don't have to niche your entire practice. If you want to, because it works and you get really good at it, absolutely. Mm. But don't put all your eggs in one basket to start with. Just choose a niche, get to know them, see if you like them, because you're going to have to work closely with these people. And I have changed my niche a couple of times because after a couple of years, they get right on my nerves. Not with the accountants, that hasn't happened, but I have worked in other niches where that has
happened. Yeah. When it comes to marketing themselves as individuals and as a firm, what do you see the good firms doing really well?
I see that they are raising personal profile of key people within the firms that have the confidence to actually have a personal profile. So I don't see the point in telling an accountant to raise their personal brand if they don't have the confidence to do it. It's not going to happen. So the firms who are doing that are doing really well. But I also see the ones who have niched and are really good at getting results as also being firms that are doing really, really well. Marketing isn't the be-all and end-all. If you get great results and you're growing your firm through referrals, yes, that's good. But I don't think that you have to have that personal brand and you don't have to be on Facebook, Twitter and LinkedIn posting every minute of every day. That works for many, but it doesn't work for all.
Yeah, very good point. Have you seen much change in the way firms win work and market themselves over the years?
Yeah, I have. You know, I've got clients in my program who are doing Facebook advertising, using lead pages. So they have lead magnets where people give an email and get a lead magnet in return. What I teach and what I get my clients doing is quite automated to free up their time so they can do more advisory. So yeah, they are changing. The savvy ones, the ones who are trying to do things in a different way and leverage technology, they're the ones who are doing really well. And I see a big change.
Well, what's the worst advice or doctrine you've seen being put out there in the accounting profession?
Worst advice comes around pricing, to be honest. Accountants are being pulled from pillar to post, being told to price this way, price that way, use this platform, use that platform. Actually, the way to price is how much value do you provide to that person? And have a look at, yes, take in time considerations, yes, take in staffing costs. But at the end of the day, once an accountant can change its mind on how it actually asks for money, that's when the pricing is going to change. Mm. And I think people are advising 101 different ways and actually price on value.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier the difficulty that firms have in recruiting the right people to drive growth.
Yep.
What should be the hiring policy for firms that really want to grow?
Culture. So stop worrying about hiring policy and get your culture out. So if you're going to do marketing, don't worry about doing marketing to get clients. Do marketing to get staff. Okay, that's my biggest thing is you want good staff. If you've got good staff, you can grow your firm quite easily. So get the culture, get super clear on your values. Let the world see how much fun it is to work in your firm. My son wants to be an accountant. I've actually got him work experience at one of the most exciting accounting firms I see emerging in this country. And I'm very blessed for that. There are very few firms that I'd want to put him in. He'd be bored rigid.
Yeah, that's a good point. But what would you say is the ideal skill set for a 21st century accountant?
The ability to talk. I had a meeting the other day with Alex Falcon Huerta, and I interviewed her three staff. And I said to them, what do you do every single day? And they were like, well, we do a little bit of the techie stuff. But actually, what we're starting to do and what Alex is really encouraging us to do is have conversations with clients. So we speak to clients all day. Well, years ago, someone who came through the accounting profession and all of the exams, they wouldn't have spoken to a mouse. Yeah. They would have been really quiet. So the biggest thing that you need to get for your staff is the ability to be confident enough to talk to your clients so that you can do the value add and you can do that advisory.
So where does that confidence come from?
Again, it's around mindset. It's about helping people believe in themselves. I would also say that confidence comes from a word that I was taught when I was younger, a word called gumption, which is basically closing your eyes and bloody going for it. and after you've done something 100 times, you get confident. People say to me, oh, Amanda, you're always so confident on video. I've been doing it a long time. If you look back at my old ones, they were horrendous. The first time I spoke on stage, I was throwing up 5 minutes beforehand. Quite disgusting, I know. But I was so blimmin' nervous. Now I can do it with my eyes closed and I don't prep for anything. As we had this conversation a moment ago, I completely forgot to look at the questions. But that's okay. Yeah, confidence comes through doing an action multiple times till you get really good at it. It's a muscle. Use it.
Do you see yourself more as a comforter and a hand holder or a challenger and a disruptor?
I see myself as two things, as all my clients know. I am either your loving mother or your nagging wife. So if you come to me and you haven't done, as I said, and you have no real reason, I will give you a kick up the butt. If you need some love and you need some support, then I will put my arm around you and help you through it in a very gentle way. But it really depends what you're doing and what excuses you're telling yourself. I do not suffer fools gladly.
No, and you're talking there a little bit about accountability, aren't you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely. And the ones who opt out of being accountable are the ones who will never change the situation. My favorite saying, if you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll keep on getting what you've always got.
Yeah. What proportion of the people you come across are really open to change? That's a big word, isn't it? Change. Everyone's talking about it, but they've got to change in terms of their professional development, their personal development, their mindset, their confidence, their skill set, beyond all the studying they've done to become an accountant.
Yeah, I'd say about 2%. The very, very few are open to change. People like you and I are trying to help them and support them. But I would say the average age of my client is somewhere between 40 and 55. For 30 years, they have been doing something the same way. They want to change. They don't know how to change. And I would say, yeah, it's about 2% of the entire profession, if we think how many people are profession in this country, in the UK.
Yeah. Crystal ball, Amanda, what's coming up in the next few years for the accounting world?
A bigger divide between those who are going, oh, I need to have gumption. They close their eyes and jump. And those who bury their head in the sand. But I think a few years will end up being 10 years. For 10 years, they've been talking about advisory. I remember looking at blogs on Accounting Web that are 5-6 years old saying exactly the same thing and having exactly the same arguments that we're having now. I don't believe that anything is moving very fast in this profession. It might feel fast to the accountants, but compared to any other profession, not really.
That's going to frighten a few of the listeners.
Oh, wow. Why is that going to frighten them?
Well, they feel that the pace of change right now is so rapid, particularly with the digital onslaught that they've got, that it's difficult for them to keep up.
No. The reason why people have fear is because they either live in the past and they're forever looking at what life used to be like, or they're worried about what the future is going to hold. Stop living in fear and start focusing on what they can do today to change their life and change their firm. They will stop worrying about it. They will grow their firm if that's what they want to do. They will get better staff. They will do everything better if they live in the present and stop worrying about where the future goes.
Yeah. That's so true. Amanda, if people listening want to get in touch with you and find out more about the great stuff that you do, what's the best way to reach you?
LinkedIn is amazing. Any accountants that want to connect with me on LinkedIn, just search for Amanda C. Watts. I love to connect with people on LinkedIn. If you don't want to connect with me, you just want to have a nose, go to my website, 22.agency. So 22 as in the word, T-W-E-N-T-Y, .agency.
Great. Now, listen, we're going to finish with some quick fire questions. First one, what do you love most about what you do?
Talking to accountants.
What drives you?
Two things, earning loads of money so I can travel the world and being a great role model for my children.
What's your personal philosophy for success?
Work hard, play hard. Try and get as much freedom into your life as you can.
What does the first and last 60 minutes of your day look like?
Yeah, first 60 minutes, daughter comes in at 6:15 and gives me a cuddle. And then after we've had about 20-minute, half an hour cuddle, I then tend to write a blog. Or I will watch a video to keep me inspired. Last 60 minutes of my day is a little bit of meditating. Definitely, I have a bath every night before I go to bed, and I love my bath. And I would say spending a little bit of time with my husband.
Is there a thinker or a book or a movement that's shaped your life in a significant way?
A book called The One Thing. The One Thing is a really good one because it's all about focus. Something that shaped my life is definitely my father. He's the reason why I do anything in this world. I have so much respect for him. And he is like Google.
Is there anything you believe deeply that other people think is crazy?
Well, I think that you thought some of the stuff I've said today is quite crazy. I would say that a lot of my beliefs around the profession, many people find crazy because they are still thinking like they have for the past 30 years. But I also know that my mindset work that I've been working on over the past 10 years, lots of people think I'm mad. I do believe that anything we put out into the world will come back to us. If you think positively, positivity will come back. It sounds very woo-woo. Many people will think I'm crazy. I'm not the only one who thinks that, but especially in the accounting profession.
We're all a bit crazy, aren't we?
We are all crazy.
Is there anything you've changed your mind on over the last few years?
Yes. I used to think that I could just do marketing and that I would get clients. Over the past few years, it's not just about the marketing. It's also about having conversations with people. So no amount of marketing, no amount of content marketing, like it used to work 5 years ago. Content marketing does not work anymore. It will not get you clients. It will not get you into conversations with clients, but it will make you look good online. So years ago, I was all about do content marketing. Now, I think you actually need a marketing funnel rather than content marketing.
Interesting. What frustrates you most about your job?
I would say technology. I hate it. I understand why the accountants don't like it. I am an ideas person. I like to go do this and make it bloody work. If I can't log on to my blimmin' computer, I get stressed. My technology frustrates me most about my job.
You can hear the tension in your voice.
Oh, you did ask me a question. I'm very honest.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long bath in order tonight. Definitely.
Exactly.
Last question, Amanda. This has been terrific. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given in your career?
Actually, it wasn't in my career. It's from my mother. And it was stay as sweet as you are. So I get really upset. People are very quick to judge me. And it's been very hard my entire life. And I just listened to my mum just saying, stay sweet, stay kind, it will be okay. Stay sweet, stay kind, it will be okay.
Wow. Well, you've been great today. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.